Take your Bible this morning and let's go to the last chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 28, if you will, in the Word of God. I did not mention to you when I was asking you to pray, but I hope you're already praying for Brother Minyard and Mrs. Smith and Brother Starkey, all three of which are taking cancer treatments. And if Brother Minyard, who's here, doesn't want to hug you, and he just wants to give you a fist bump, just take it, all right? Because what the treatment he's taking makes him susceptible to anything and everything. So he don't want what you got, all right? So he's got enough to deal with, right? All right, you're there in Acts chapter 28. I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. The Bible said, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. We've been through the book of Acts now for 64 messages. This is the 65th message I've preached to you out of the book of Acts. And boy, I can't help but think how things have changed in some ways and have stayed the same in other ways. We began back in the first part of the book of Acts. We had the Jews preaching to the Jews about Jesus. In the final chapter here, we have a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he called himself, the Apostle Paul, preaching to the Jews concerning Jesus. Now, the unusual thing is that when we first met Paul in the book, he was going after those who believed in Jesus. He was doing everything he could to stamp out those who testified and witnessed for the cause of Christ, doing his best to kill them. But Paul, that same fella, has now become the main character in Acts, and he's going after everyone for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's now persuading these Jews concerning Jesus. Hey, listen, it's what you do with Jesus that will determine your future. Matthew 22:42, the Bible asks, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Now, Paul persuaded those concerning Jesus. Now, draw your attention to that phrase there in verse 23, persuading them concerning Jesus. Hey, if you're going to get out of this world alive, it's important you be persuaded concerning Jesus Christ. He said, preacher, what do you think he would have said? Well, if he's persuading Jews, it's the same thing Gentiles need too. One of the things I believe he said was he is God. He is God. I don't believe Paul said now he's part God or just a little bit God. No, he is God. You say, how can you be so dogmatic? Well, look over in 1 Timothy, would you? 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know, the Word of God sometimes is so plain that it's amazing to me we miss it, all right? But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Now listen carefully. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Now there's only one that fills the bill for that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God manifest in the flesh. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. No man could do what he did. John chapter 3, if you would, go back there, all right? I don't want you to think I'm just preaching my opinion, okay? John chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, here's the instance of Nicodemus came to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. And he said in verse 2, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now Nicodemus almost had it right when he said, if he had just left it off when he said, "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest," because no man could do them. No man could do what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He healed the sick. He healed the sick. I mean, he could do it with a touch. He could do it with just a statement. He didn't have to touch them. He could just say, "Be healed," and they were healed. Some he touched. Some he took clay and spittle and made dust and made clay out of that dust and spittle, and he anointed it on the eyes of the blind man and said, "Go wash." And he went and washed and he was whole. But many of them, he just healed them right there. There wasn't anything. He said, "Why'd he do it?" Well, to keep people busy, I guess. To astound the doubters, maybe. To let them know, hey, there's no set pattern, there's no set way. But no man could do what he did. He could heal the sick, restore sight, give hearing to those that were deaf. He could, not only that, but go beyond it, he could raise the dead. He could raise the dead. He didn't even have to be there when they got raised, all right? He could do it from a distance. No man could do what he did. I'll tell you, when Paul preached to those Jews and persuaded them concerning Jesus, I believe the first thing he said was, "I want you to know he's God. He's God. And if you doubt the deity of Christ, you doubt the Word of God. You doubt the Word of God." I've heard people make the claim, "Well, Jesus never claimed to be God." You cannot understand English then. Because when you read through the scriptures, you would see the Jewish people he spoke to would get infuriated. And that's because he claimed to be God. That's what infuriated them. They didn't want to believe it. But boy, when he was persuading those Jews, he was persuading them, first of all, that he's God. That's not all. Take your Bible to Romans chapter 3, would you? Romans chapter 3, verse 24. He said, what did he persuade them concerning Jesus? Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Hey, when he stood before those Jews and convinced them, he was telling them that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for sin. Propitiation. That word speaks of satisfying, all right? Satisfying. The Lord Jesus Christ was the satisfactory payment for our sin. For our sin. That's him. No other could have served as the propitiation for our sins. It took the perfect blood of that perfect man, Jesus Christ, to pay your sin debt. That's the only thing that would satisfy the price that had to be paid. And that price he paid satisfied the Father. Satisfied the Father. You see, there's a host of folks in the world today that tell you and that seem to think, mistakenly I would say, but they mistakenly believe they can pay their own way. I can pay for my own sin. Hey, there you say, well, how do they do it? Some try to be good. They try to be good. Well, I'm a pretty good person. Some try to do good. Most of us, when we think of being good, we think of doing good, right? Some try to treat their fellow man right. Think, I treat people right. Hey, I'm kind to animals. And we could go on and on. And those people are saying, hey, through that, I can pay my own sin debt. I'll get it paid myself. I can do it. I'll serve humankind. I will deny myself. Some people take and they take a whip, for lack of a better word, and they will flail their own back. All right, with that, drawing blood, saying, I'll pay, I'll make penance for my own sin. I've seen pictures of folks with, the best way I know how to describe it is a big long fish hook. And they've pinched up their skin on their back and they've stuck that fish hook through that back in several places. And those hooks are connected to cords and they're dragging a heavy sled along the way. And the idea is we're doing penance for our sin. I will pay for my own sin. I'll pay my way. You can't do it. You can't do it. He's the only propitiation for our sin. The Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He said, well, preacher, when those people beat their back and they stick fish hooks through their back, they're shedding blood. Wait a minute, just any old blood won't do, though. Just any blood wouldn't do. You can shed your blood, but your blood's got the same problem my blood does. It's tainted by sin. It's tainted by sin. We're sinners. You came into this world a sinner. He said, not me. Yep, you. Nobody had to teach you how to sin because you are a sinner. Nobody ever taught me how to tell a lie. Man, they came easy. Came easy. Nobody had to tell you how to steal. You didn't learn to steal by walking up to the store, grabbing a hold of something, putting it in your pocket, then get chased down and pull back. And you go, oh, I guess I should have tried to hide that. You didn't learn that way. You knew instinctively. You instinctively know how to hide things. Instinctively, you know, ought to hide it. Why? Because you're a sinner. We're sinners. We're born into that. Our blood wouldn't do. But it took that pure, perfect, spotless blood of the Lamb of God, who is the propitiation for our sin. When the Apostle Paul, I believe, spoke to those Jews, persuading them concerning Jesus, he told them he's God. He told them he's the propitiation for our sin. Then I think another thing he told them, he is the only Savior. The only Savior. No other Savior. There is no other, all right? Now the world doesn't like this view. That's why you hear ignoramuses in the religious world saying things like, well, all religions serve the same God. All of these are different pathways to God. All the different religions. All that may sound hunky-dory to you, but it's absolute blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy. You see, our Bible's plain. Our Bible's plain. Go back to Acts chapter 4, would you? Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, you read with me, if you will, down in verse, let's go to verse 10. Here's Peter preaching. And he says this in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, referring to Jesus Christ, which has become the head of the corner. Now get it, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hey, that's about as plain as it gets. There is none other name under none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I believe old Paul preached to those Jews concerning Jesus, and he said, that one you crucified, he said, that's the one that is the Savior. He's the Savior. And if you were to speak with Peter, he would vehemently disagree with you on the idea that all religions lead to heaven and all religions lead to the same God. He's the one that God used to speak those words in Acts chapter 4. Hey, you know what that means? That rules out Muhammad. I do not hate Muslims. I'm not, what do they call it, you know, some kind of phobic. I know, but Muhammad, he just couldn't measure up. That rules out Zoroaster. Said, who's that? Well, there's a lot of people that used to worship him, all right? That rules out Confucius. That rules out Buddha. That rules out Hare Krishna. That rules out Baal and Molech and all the rest that you can come up with. I'm fully persuaded concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the only Savior of men. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to go through the blood that was shed by the only propitiation for sin, that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, and he paid our sin debt. You get to heaven, you'll go through him. You said, well, that's your way. I don't have a way. It's what the Bible says. What the Bible said. You said, what else do you think he preached when he preached persuading them concerning Jesus? I believe he preached to them 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Now, I'll remind you, this also is in the Bible, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Hey, when he preached concerning, persuading them concerning Jesus, he said he's the only mediator. He's the only mediator. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. Now, I'll tell you what that means. That means if you're praying to anybody else, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. There's no other mediator. There's not a mediatrix. Some people try to say, well, you can pray to Mary. Find that in the Bible. It's not in the Word of God. There's one and only one mediator. He said, preacher, you're mad at everybody. No, I'm mad at those that would try to deceive you and deceive this whole world and make them think there's any way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ and get you the idea that you can pray to others. You can't pray to others. Hey, you don't pray to your ancestors. I believe my dad was a godly man. I do not go out to the cemetery and pray to him. One reason he ain't there, all right? His body is, but he's not, all right? But I'd never call upon him. Why? Because I've got direct access to the Father through Jesus Christ. Through him. It's through him. There's a very simple reason there's only one mediator. Because there's only one that can understand both sides. There's only one. I don't know if you notice it, but I think it's with credit cards I have gotten that there's a deal about there. If you want to contest something, that you have to agree, and by taking this card, you're agreeing to go through a mediator. That mediator is the one that's set up and said it will, and you use a mediator who can understand both sides of it, all right? If you have a disagreement, you need somebody that understands both sides of the argument. Okay? Let's say you have a disagreement about the work the plumber did. Okay? And you're going to go to a mediator. Now, who are you going to get to mediate between you and the plumber? All right? Between your position and the plumber. You got to have somebody that understands both sides. Listen, I understand your side. I completely understand your side. But I don't understand the plumber's side. I'm not a plumber. I'm not a plumber. Hey, you got a sin problem. You got a sin problem. There's only one that understands your side and God's side. You got that? There's only one that understands your side and God's side. That is the man, Christ Jesus. He said, how does he understand? Because he was God and he was man. He said, that's not possible. It ain't except with Jesus Christ. With God, all things are possible. He came to this earth. The Bible said he took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He became a man, all right? But he was still 100% God. Still God. The difference is he never sinned, but he knew what it was because the Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He understands. That is, he knows how you feel. He's been where you are. He knows how you feel. But he understands God too. Because he's God. Now you don't understand God. I do not understand God. Don't want you to think I'm talking down to you when I say you don't understand God. Why? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Man, they're not even close. But the Lord Jesus Christ understands. Therefore, when we come to him, he can mediate. He can be the mediator. He understands our side perfectly. He understands God the Father's side perfectly. And he understands enough to help us. He's the mediator. He's the mediator. He said, what did Paul preach when he was preaching to those Jews concerning Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, he preached to them, he's God. He was God. He preached to them that he's the only propitiation for sin. He preached to them that he's the only Savior. He preached to them he's the only mediator. But more, I tell you, this is where it gets exciting. He's preached to them he's coming back. He's coming back to judge and to rule this world. Go back, if you will, to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Boy, where we started there in the book of Acts, look at verse 11. What an exciting verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which also said, well, let's read verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, that's Jesus, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Notice, this same Jesus. He's going to come back just the way you've seen him go. People saw him leave, they're going to see him return. In Revelation chapter 1, I think it's verse 7, the Bible says, every eye shall see him. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Hey, that same Jesus, which one? The one who was God in the flesh. That one. That one who's the propitiation for our sin. That one who's the only Savior. That's the one. The one who's the only mediator between God and man. That's the one. He's coming back. He's coming back. Look in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, would you? Tried to make it easy this morning. Keep these verses for the most part close together. Acts 17, look at verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him, that's that man, from the dead. Hey, that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back, and we're going to be judged by that man whom he hath ordained. Hey, we're going to be judged up against Jesus Christ, too. You want to know what the standard of judgment's going to be? It's not going to be the best person you know. Not going to be the best person you know. Well, I'm a whole lot better than all that crowd right there. Doesn't matter. That's not the standard. Well, okay, I don't measure up to so-and-so. That's okay. That's not the standard. The standard is Jesus Christ. That's the standard. You say, well, I ain't got a chance. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, how can I measure up against the righteousness of him? You'll trust him as your Savior. The Bible said we get his righteousness. His righteousness imputed to us. That's the only way we have a chance. Because on our own, we don't have a chance. Oh, but with him. But with what he did. And what we can receive, we get the imputed righteousness of God. Hey, he's coming back to judge this world. Coming back to judge this world. Oh, but that's not all. Look with me, if you will, over in Revelation chapter 19, would you? Last chapter in the Bible. He's not only coming back to judge the world, but he is coming back to rule the world. Revelation 19, verse 15. The Bible says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He said, well, who is that? Well, in verse 13 it says, his name is called the Word of God. So who's that? Well, John chapter 1 says it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It's him. The Bible said he's going to rule this world with a rod of iron. You think people don't like Donald Trump? You wait till they get a chance with Jesus Christ. He's going to rule this world with a rod of iron. And you say, well, it's either his way or the highway. It's his way or there ain't no other way. It's his way. His way. So, well, I don't like that. You don't get a vote. You don't get a vote. He's coming back. He's coming back. That's the Jesus. Paul preached unto them concerning Jesus. Concerning Jesus. The only thing I know to say is, even so come, Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. You will go back over there to Acts chapter 28. I wasn't going to go back, but I am, because I want to get to verse 24. I am persuaded. I believe, but the Bible said there in verse 24, some believe the things which were spoken and some believe not. I'm not in that crowd that did not believe. I'm in the believing crowd. I have faith to believe, put my trust in him. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt he was the God-man. He was God manifest in the flesh. I believe his the propitiation. His is the only price that could satisfy the price God demanded for sin. He is the only Savior beyond a shadow of a doubt. When I pray, I don't go to anybody else. I pray directly through in the name of Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator, and I'm looking forward to him coming back. Now, if you don't believe, you disbelieve at your own risk. You will be on your own. I'd rather be identified with Jesus Christ. I don't want to be on my own. I want to be in Him. And to be found in Him, the Bible says, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. He preached unto them, persuading them concerning Jesus. Persuading them concerning Jesus. Are you persuaded? As it's not my intention necessarily to persuade you, because I think the Holy Spirit of God has to deal with you, to persuade you. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, you've been on the fence. Been convinced maybe by a lot of false teaching that's available in the world. And the folks that go beyond what the Bible says or skip what the Bible says. I want to tell you, you need to be fully persuaded when it comes to Jesus Christ. Are you fully persuaded today? Hey, you've not trusted Him as the only Savior. You don't have a chance. That's not my opinion. It's what the Bible says. What the Bible says. Would you take Him today as your Savior? Hey, you're here this morning, maybe you've been saved, but the truth of the matter is you're only kind of halfway persuaded about how to live. I want to tell you, He's coming back to judge the world. I'll remind you that the Bible says we as Christians will stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. To receive the things we've done in this body, whether they be good or bad. What are you going to get? What are you going to get when you stand before Him? It's up to you. You go to heaven or not, it's up to you. The Lord's already done His part. God did everything He could do. He gave His Son to pay your debt that you can't pay. He gave you the Word of God. So you can know what He did. And He brought you here today to hear this preacher tell you what God said. It's on you now. It's on you now. What are you going to do? Christian? Christian, you're going to stand before Him in judgment. Will you come to Him today? Would you decide, I'm going to do it different? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning calling upon You, asking You to do what only You can do. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit might convict us.